Hurkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am in Arizona doing comedy at the Comedy Condo. Well, I'm staying at the Comedy Condo right now. I'm not doing comedy there. I'm at the House of Comedy. But I got my buddy here, one of the greatest fighters I know. Of course, I only know one fighter. David Michaud, the Bulldog. How are you, David?
I'm doing good. Had a good time last night and having a good time today.
Thank you for coming to the show. That was awesome that you came last night, by the way.
No, it was... Thanks for... letting me know you were going to be here because it was a great time.
Thank you. Oh, dude, are you kidding me? I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, if you need marijuana, you need it delivered, you don't want to go to the dispensary. You go there, you got to look, people are going to judge you. You're going to leave the car. Everyone's like, oh, that's my math teacher. That's my English teacher. That's the guy, you know, someone at work. Go get it delivered. California, Speedweed. Go to speedweed.com. Everything edibles, vapes. CBD oil. I know my back is killing. I put CBD oil on it, the roll-on. I feel so much better. Everything you need, they have at speedweed.com. Mention Roasted. You get $10 off orders over $100.
Now, do they have a store that you can go to, or...
I think they're opening up a store. I think in Lancaster, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But so we just actually started over again because the sound was bad, and now it sounds better. So my buddy David, you were telling me. So the last night the show, I'm on stage, and there's this like huge tall black guy with a beautiful white girl, and I'm like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, I think I called him the cast of Get Out 2, and he's like, oh, I'm an Indian. I'm like, oh, wow, we have three Indians now. And I pointed to you, your girlfriend, and him, and he was laughing. He actually, I looked him up. He was actually a number one pick, got a $2.5 million signing bonus out of high school. Will Benton, the dude is like 19 years old, but he's a nice guy. He gave a lot of that money to his church. And to his family, and he said he's still driving his old like 97 Honda. I give the guy a lot of. He seems like a real nice guy, but I digress. So when I called him Indian, and I called you an Indian. Do you get upset with that? Is that a derogatory term? Because I don't really know.
No, it's like it doesn't really matter to most people. I don't think, you know, anybody that I know. If you call them Indian or Native, then it's just they can be interchangeable. If someone's trying to run you down or be offensive, you can tell. So it's just kind of how you say things.
Now, as far as Redskins, I know that's a big controversy. Some people are like, oh, they shouldn't be called the Redskins. They call the Redskins. People are upset. People are not. How do people that you used to live with, now you live in Arizona, but on the reservation, how do they feel about that?
I mean, like Redskin... It was a scalp of a native person that was sold to the government, you know, as proof of like your kill. So that's not that cool. Like,
not that cool. Yeah, but I think it's worse than not that cool. But yeah, of course.
Well, if you do say that you're offended, then a lot of people take offense to like people who are offended. Yeah. You know, so that's a weird. They're like, oh, you don't have any right, or oh, you're so.
Yeah, but if there was a term like I'm Jewish, if there was a term for Jews getting thrown into ovens at the Holocaust, and then we named a football team after that, I would be like, no, you can't call them. That's horrible. I mean,
Then people would be on Twitter saying, oh, you soft, or you justice warrior.
I mean, if they called, like if it was like, okay, it's the Kansas City Holocaust survivors versus, not even a survivor, it's something even worse. It's Kansas City Heaves or something, right? Or something. And then I would be like, no, you can't call people Heaves. That is bullshit that they actually keep that.
Yeah, but it is what it is.
Now, I mean, growing up, you grew up on the reservation. This is going to be a David Michaud story because I think this is a good story. And I've always appreciated you. And I think you're a very humble guy. You're very funny, too. I always noticed that people who've had it the worst, people who have not had it the worst, but people who have gone through the most struggle seem to have the best sense of humor. For like a lot, like Mexicans in America, I know it's going to be a good show if there's Mexicans because they're going to laugh. Black people usually they laugh the hardest. Jewish people have sense of humor, and Native Americans. I've never had a Native American person. One time, I had someone complain because I was like, I don't know, maybe it was I was 15 years ago and I was in Maine and someone said they were native and I said, how? And then they got really upset.
That's actually, how is actually from my tribe. That's in the Lakota language. That's how you say it. That's hi.
So why would they get upset?
maybe just because it's not their language. I don't know.
Oh, that's why? It wasn't that it was derogatory towards natives. It wasn't.
I don't know.
I mean, like, if somebody said, "Hell, you're American. What's up?" And they were from, I don't know. They were Chinese, and they were like, "What's up?" I would laugh, right? I don't know. The woman wrote me a long letter saying how I shouldn't say how to a native person, and I was like, you know what? I meant it to be funny. I didn't mean it to piss you off, you know. So sometimes you. That's the line. Yeah, that's like Chappelle said, you have to dare to be wrong.
Yeah.
And that I was wrong. So that being said, so you grow up, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I got one younger sister, but a lot of cousins, and they were always around, so it was mostly like brothers too.
Now what do your parents do?
They're both teachers.
Both
my
teachers.
Dad teaches high school and my mom teaches middle school, like 6th, 7th, 8th grade.
On the reservation?
Yeah.
Okay, so both parents, very, very smart.
They're teachers.
Now, I want to say, by the way, when you grow up on a reservation, like in American history, they gloss over how bad Native Americans were treated. I mean, you would assume that everyone got along all the time, and like Thanksgiving, we had a big party, and like the Indians were dancing, and the village people, like you never actually, but in on the reservation, do they actually tell the truth of what happened?
Well, where I'm from, it's right next. The Wounded Knee Massacre site is probably about, we'll say it's 15, just for a nice round number. It's 15 miles from my hometown.
And what is that?
In 1890, depending on who you ask, between 200 and 300 natives were killed on the reservation while they were giving up their guns by the 7th Cavalry. And I think most people consider that like the end of the Indian Wars, the end of Indians.
So they lost the war.
They were on the reservation.
They said, you know what? Okay, we lost. Here are our guns. And rather than just take the guns.
As they were giving the guns back, they said a scuffle broke out and they killed everyone that was in camp.
What a bunch of assholes. That sucks. Okay, so that was 15 miles from where you grew up.
Yeah, and there's a big mass grave with however many bodies. It was actually December 29th, December 30th, around then. And so every year at that time, there's a big ride. Like, guys get on their horses and they ride a couple hundred miles to commemorate it. In the middle of winter. And they just did it. Yeah, and this year, that when they did it, it was like below zero the whole time.
Can you be like, all right, we'll do it next year. We'll like ride twice.
It's gonna probably be cold next year too. Yeah, it was bad this year.
Man. So okay, so that happened 15 miles. So they did talk about that in school.
Yeah, that's probably. I mean, I feel like I don't know. I feel like that's probably one of the more well-known things that happen. Even on the old Ninja Turtles game, the Turtles in Time, there was a stage called Bury My Shell at Wounded Knee, because there's a book called Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Wow. So that's what you guys get, Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
that's
we got crazy. Ninja Turtles.
That's where people would find history.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
there's never any mention of Pine Ridge in any like media or anything. So anytime we had anything, that was pretty cool.
So you grow up, okay, so you're young, and how many people are in your tribe?
Ooh. So that are enrolled, there's probably, I think they say like 30 to 40,000, but probably 20, maybe 15 to 20,000 people live on the res.
50,000 people. Now, is it like a regular town? Because I've never been to a Native, but like I did a show in Washington, and a lot of people came, and they're like, oh, we live on the reservation. They happen to have a lot of cash on them, these people.
Well, our res is not like a Washington res. So in Washington, how the reses in Washington, they're closer to cities and stuff, so their casinos make a lot more money, so they can hire a lot of a lot more of their people. Our casino is kind of in the middle of nowhere because we're in South Dakota, so we're in the middle of nowhere. Our nearest town, our nearest city, I guess, is Rapid City, and that's got about 65,000 people, and that's 100 miles away. So we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's not – the nearest Walmart was – 55, 60 miles away. So to just get, you know, basic necessities, you have to go.
Well, why wouldn't someone open up a store on the reservation?
There's a lot of red tape. To open up something on the res, it's a lot harder than to open it up off the res because, well, so there's a lot of, I don't know how to explain it. It's sovereign land, but
you can't just open up a store. Is what you're saying?
You got to go through the federal government, then state government, then local government, then tribal government. You got to get all of that taken care of to open something up. So it just takes a lot more. So it's a lot easier for people to open. Like, a new dollar store just opened right on the border of the res, and a new Family Dollar. So. Like, it was just, it's easier for them just to open up in Nebraska right on the border than it is to open up on the res.
Right. So, but how do you guys stack up for stuff? Like, I mean, if your nearest Walmart's 100 miles away, which is probably 2 hours drive, how do you stack up for, I don't know, like, you need toilet paper, or you need toothpaste, or you need water, or you need food? What do you do?
Yeah, there's one store in town, Sioux Nation, but it's a little more expensive than like going to Walmart or something.
Oh, what a jerk. The guy hacks up prices of his own people.
And, but most people, you know, they'll be able to go and first of the month, get their EBT and they go to the store and.
Okay. So people go to Walmart. The Walmart is probably packed the first of the month.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So the whole reservation, 60,000 people show up to Walmart. It's like Black Friday every Monday.
So there was actually Chappelle joke about that. He said he saw a gathering of 10,000 natives. It was at Walmart.
Well, of course, that's what you do. So you grow up. Now your school, the actual school itself, has how many people in your elementary school?
Ooh, I don't know. In my graduating class, we had like 70, 75 kids, and we was the largest class that we ever had. So
wow, so small schools.
Yeah, it's not too big. And I went to the biggest school on the res. But in South Dakota, there's a lot even smaller schools than that. So there's a couple high schools on the res, but we'll get kids from like as far as 60 miles away. The buses go out and pick them up. So for those guys, it's tough, especially in winter.
They got to do an hour to school?
Yeah. Fuck. So they're waiting outside at like 6:30 in the morning during winter for the bus to pick them up.
I was so spoiled. I used to always wake up late. I'd be eating breakfast and I would watch the bus pass me, and the kids would all, and you could see like my window, and the kids would point and laugh at me and be like, aha, you missed the bus again. And then my dad or my housekeeper used to drive me. Anyway, I don't want to say a housekeeper, but yes, that's what happened. So anyway, okay. So
The help.
So you grow up. Now you were a star football player. You were a star wrestler, but do you only play other kids on the reservation?
No, we played kids all around. And from wrestling, we'd travel all around. There's tournaments all over the place. We couldn't really do duels because we didn't have a big enough team. We didn't. So my senior year, we only had three guys on the team. So no one, I mean, we didn't want to duel anyone, and no one would want to duel us because they had to have 11 kids who didn't have matches.
They should do a movie about a white kid who sneaks on the reservation. Right? So, I mean, did you know...
Who sneaks on and does what?
I don't know. You know, like Soul Man was the white kid who pretended to be black to like get into school. And he got into school that way. I mean, now, growing up, did people tell you, like, don't trust white people? Like, they're just going to fuck you over. They have germs.
They have germs. They're dirty.
They have STDs.
No. Well, my dad's not from the res. My dad's white. My mom's from the res, and she's native, but so.
Oh, your dad moved onto the res?
Yeah.
Oh, so he met a Native American girl.
Yeah, well, they were in college, and they met, and then he moved, and
so he's, pregnant. And, was it hard for him? Did the people not accept him on the res at first?
No. He's always felt like it was just home.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they weren't like, get away with it. Really? I would think there'd be some sort of racism or bigotry towards...
I mean, there still are people. There's still people that don't like white people, but, you know, in the schools, half the teachers are from off the res. So,
if you I mean, white teachers.
There's always, you're always going to see it. And then if you have a TV, like you see everything that's on TV is mostly white people anyway. So,
now, are the teachers allowed to bring their white kids on the res?
Yeah. So most of the teachers will send their kids to different schools though.
Why?
It's just the way
it is. Are the schools not as good there?
There's some of the lower rated schools around. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you, so there's three kids on the wrestling team. How do you wrestle with three kids on the team?
I'd wrestle my dad. He was the coach. And then we had another
guy. Did your dad beat you? I mean, did your dad try?
Oh, he couldn't beat me. Last time he was beating me was probably when I was 14 or 15. Probably 15 then I was starting to beat him.
You were pinning your dad?
Yeah.
Now, was that kind of like hard on your dad? I mean, that could have been hard on your dad to know that your son was kicking his ass.
Well, he's not the biggest guy. I had some size on him. So I had that.
My dad used to be like, when my dad,
he's old and beat up.
When I was younger, my dad, but I don't care how, what that poster says, or I don't care what that trophy, I'll still whip your ass. He would tell me that. He would still beat my, I'm like, there's no fucking way. But it doesn't matter. I still let him believe that.
But you people. Even some of his high school kids, they'll be like, oh, could you still beat up Bulldog? Even today. Wow. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, he's a pro fighter. He's beating up real pro fighters.
But you wrestled in high school at 185, right?
It was 189.
189. I think
now it's...
And you fought at 145.
No, I fought at 55 twice, and that was tough. When I wrestled in high school, I didn't really cut. I guess I weighed probably 85, 86, and I just never cut. My sophomore year, I cut to 160, and that wasn't the hardest cut. Then my junior year, I got hurt, couldn't really practice, so I wrestled at 89, and I lost at state. And then I got hurt, and I had to forfeit out. So the next year, I was looking either at 71 or 89. I could have made 71. It wouldn't have killed me, but I just wanted to go 89 so I could try to wrestle the guy who beat me the year before.
Right. Oh, okay. Did you beat him?
We didn't end up wrestling. He ended up losing in the semis, and I ended up wrestling someone else in the
And finals. You were the state champ of South Dakota?
Yeah.
And that's all. That's not just reservations. That's all schools.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I mean, South Dakota's not the...
There's still some good wrestling not, there.
They do... Every couple of years, we'll get some pretty good guys.
Now, one kid's pretty good from South Dakota. He was in... I think he was for Titan for a little bit. He was a younger kid.
Bice?
Yeah, Sid Bice.
So me and Bice, he was in my region, and we were at the same tournaments. He graduated the same year as me. The year that I won it, my senior year, it was his senior year, and he got the Outstanding Wrestler Award. He was, I don't know, he had a lot of matches. He was like 55-0 or something. But yeah, he was a beast too.
Wow. Now, I remember watching a video of you taking like logs and like or like kegs and like throwing them over your head in high school. Like what was that?
So just one of the so my dad, he's the kind of the strength and conditioning coach, and then he would do kind of like amateur strongman, and his classes would do all kinds of different stuff like that. We'd drag chains and like the Atlas stones, we had instead of stones, we had stumps called an Atlas stump. So we did just a bunch of different stuff like that. So it was pretty fun.
Did you get into any fights at all on the reservation? Were there a lot of fights there?
Some kids get in a lot of fights. I didn't really get in too many fights. Well, I had my first MMA fight when I was 15. So after that, like, I had beat up a guy that was like 24. Wow. So people. I mean, no one in high school really was going to, you know.
Because I remember watching that video on The Ultimate Fighter when they sent him that video, and everybody felt like you were their hope. It was like...
Yeah, oh, then I just lose the first fight.
Whatever, we'll get to that in a second. But it was like you were like the legend of Bulldog. Like you were like the kid out of the reservation that was going to make it. Did that add undue pressure on you?
No, I've never really felt like it pressured me any. I just felt like it was support. Like it was kind of lifting me up, you know. I never, like that never, whenever I think about that, like if I think, oh, so-and-so's dependent on me or all these kids are looking up to me, I never felt like that was heavy on me. I felt like that just kind of was more momentum for me to keep going.
Yeah, no, that was pretty cool though. Like it was almost like, out of a movie. They had you like throwing fucking kegs in like a barn, and like a bunch of old men were standing around looking at you, and it was like, this is our guy. And it was pretty cool. You were also the valedictorian. So you had a 4.0 in high school?
Yeah.
And that's insane.
Had some academic scholarships to go to college.
Now, why'd you pick South Dakota State out of all places? I know that you're in South Dakota.
I wanted to go there and play football. I played football my first year and, you know, felt like I wasn't really going to ever get too much playing time. Like, I probably wouldn't see the field too much until my junior year.
Your linebacker, running back?
Running back, and then maybe get some playing time, some good playing time, not until my senior year. And, you know, I was never going to be in the NFL.
Were they D1?
Yeah, they had just gone D1 then. D1 AA, or what's it called? The football championship series, and then the big schools are the football bowl series or whatever. So, yeah, they were D1 AA. And so after the first year, like, I was never going to go pro in football. I knew that. I'm 5'9", not running a 4.2s anytime soon. So I talked to the wrestling coach, asked him about wrestling, and they needed guys at my size. They didn't have anybody at 84, and so I said I'd go on if he would allow me to still fight, because the football coach didn't want me to fight. So he said that would be all right, but I think he didn't want me to fight, but they needed a guy,
yeah,
just to fill out the weights. So I jumped in, and I was still able to get some fights while I was in college, and
You went 4-1 as an amateur. No.
So that's what it says. I actually went like 12-3 as an amateur, and those were, I think those were all before I graduated high school.
Wow, is that legal?
Probably not anymore. I don't know. Some kids still get some, but like I kind of wanted to turn pro before I was out of high school, but talking to like the South Dakota High School Athletic Commission, it was kind of murky if I'd still be able to do sports.
Now, I know you wrestled in high school, but when you're training to do amateur fighting, do you have any boxing experience, any jiu-jitsu experience?
So a lot of guys box around where I'm from. You know, they go to like the kids' golden gloves and stuff. So I was training with them. A couple of my cousins would do it, and some of my other buddies, and then they wanted to start fighting. So it's like, all right, we'll come in, we'll wrestle, we'll box. And that's how I got my start. We didn't have any kickboxing or Muay Thai instructors. The nearest was probably either in Denver or Sioux Falls, which are both about 350, 400 miles away. So it's not like we could just go get some of that. There was no real jiu-jitsu instructors. There were no black belts within
So how did, you, how did you end up learning any of this?
Watch UFC and be with my dad and be like, oh, look at that. Let's try that, and lay on the floor and try to choke each other.
Now, that's crazy. So when did you actually walk into a real gym?
After I went to college, the first gym I went to was Next Edge Academy. Went down. And that was, even then, it was an hour from where I went to college. So went down, trained there. Got hooked up with I still consider my coach, Bruce Hoyer. He runs Next Edge in Sioux Falls, and you know, I really enjoyed it. They got some good guys there.
So you walk into Next Edge, you have wrestling and you have some boxing. You don't really have any jiu-jitsu other than what you saw on TV.
Yeah.
And now, who were the guys that were training there at the time?
So Ben Wynn, he was there. Shayna Baszler was there. Jordan Larson, he's doing pretty good for himself in he's an LFA and kind of Victory now. And those were probably the main guys that were fighting. There were some other guys that were fighting, but still local, and then didn't really get too
How did you do against, like, now who did you pair up with?
Well, Jordan was probably the only one my size, but, you know, go with everyone.
And I mean, did people like, oh, wow, you have good wrestling, but your submission defense sucks? Or was anybody, were people impressed by you? Was it nerve-wracking?
I'm sure no one was impressed by me.
Really?
No.
I mean, you wrestled 4 years in college, right?
Well, this was when I was 19. This was my, whenever I had just got to college, because I was still looking for somewhere to train. I still wanted to... I guess this was probably, I was 19 and after football season, because it was hard to get any time to get away. But yeah, I mean, I went in, they asked if I did anything. I told them I wrestled for a long time, and got in there and start rolling around.
Okay. Now, I mean, do you have a lot of times people walk into new gyms and they feel like they have a target on their back, or they feel like, oh shit, I gotta, even when I go to like Curves or whatever, and like,
yeah, what, the ladies?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I always feel like in like some ways, like I have to like impress people. Like I have to show them that like, hey, I know what I, did you feel like that a little bit? Like you were, you going the pads extra hard? Did anyone try to go extra hard in sparring and like see if you were any good? Did Ben Wynn try to fuck you up? Talk to me.
No, Ben's a super nice guy. But we're like, he hadn't been training too much, and I, you know, I was way bigger than him too, but like guys were real nice. Obviously I felt like I had to kind of show that I knew something.
Yeah, yeah.
And without any actual true jiu-jitsu training, like I knew some stuff. I knew some jiu-jitsu, and my defense was still decent. Like I could roll with most guys, and if I'm just defending, not get tapped. But yeah, they accepted me right away.
That's nice.
And but yeah, any gym you go to, you're always gonna feel like people are looking at you, wondering if,
oh, of course,
wondering
of course,
if the coaches are green lighting you, letting them try to put you away.
Yeah, yeah. Now you hear about alcoholism in the Native American, I mean, you hear it all the time. Like the, I'm not sure if it's a stereotype or it's true. That this, it's just a really bad on the reservation. Is that how it is? I mean, do you see, like, you walk to the store and just people just passed out or drunk or beating their kids? Like what's it like?
Well, I mean, they say stereotypes come from somewhere. There's probably more. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say because I feel like a lot of people drink, but they're just functioning alcoholics. Like,
right.
I know a lot of people just that are functioning alcoholics that will drink 10 beers a night and wake up the next morning and go to job like every night. So, but yeah, I think that there is a lot, you know, a lot of people do drink, and there are panhandlers, you know, like hobos kind of asking for change outside the store and stuff. But I don't know. It's probably a higher percentage than on other places.
But I mean, kids that you went to high school with, do you see them now and they're like full-fledged alcoholics or?
Well, the ones that are, I don't normally see them.
Right.
I mean, but you hear about it still.
Now in high school, you know.
So like, now what's getting big, and I guess it's not just on the res, but is meth.
Yeah,
that's starting to get big. One of my cousins, she went to jail for it, and her and the guy she was selling with, like, gotten kind of bad with the mob or whatever.
The
cartel or...
The Native American cartel?
No.
Oh.
From Denver or something.
The Denver cartel? Damn.
And so, like, that's... That's probably the biggest thing now that, well, from what I'm hearing anyway, like, I'm not there. You know, I go back whenever I can. Like, after a fight, I'll go back for 2 weeks or something.
Now, you must be, though, when you go back now and you're a UFC, you were in the UFC and you're still fighting. I mean, is it a big deal? Are people like, oh, this bulldog? Are you like the Michael Jordan of
the Michael? I mean, I feel like whenever I go somewhere, people will recognize me and, you know, they'll want to shake my hand or get a picture. Sometime mostly if I go somewhere, people always want to talk or...
Do any guys ever try to test you out in the bar? Be like, I could fuck him up. I bet.
No, well, there's no bars. There's no bars in Pine Ridge. On the res, it's a dry res. So,
oh, wow.
Alcohol's illegal.
So why do people think they're alcoholics there?
Well, because there is. I mean, how long was weed illegal? But
Oh, wow. That's crazy. What happens if you go with alcohol?
So if you are caught with alcohol, you got to sit 8 hours. If you
sit by yourself for 8 hours?
They throw you in jail for 8 hours. So they just say you got to sit 8 hours. But even if you get pulled over, or if they see you on the street and they give you a breathalyzer and you blow, then you got to sit. Which that kind of sucks. Like, say you're off the res drinking, then you got someone who's, you know, who's your DD, and they're driving you home. They pull you over and they give you a breathalyzer. Your DD's good. They breathalyze you. Then you would still have to sit. So that's...
Now, does it go on your record or anything? Do you have a record?
No.
I've
never had it. Because I don't drink, so I've never had it. But I don't think it really goes on your record or anything.
How did you end up being such a good kid? Like, it just seems like you had all the opportunities to be a fuck up. I mean, you're no offense, but it just seems like you have a lot of people have a lot of victimhood, and especially now. Oh, I'm bad because look how I grew up.
Yeah.
But you look guy like kid like you. You get a 4-0. You play two sport college athlete. How does that happen?
Just got lucky, I guess.
Come on. I mean, is there something in you that, like, did you, when you were younger, was it really good parenting from your dad and mom?
I mean, I thought they were good parents. I felt like they kind of put me on the right path. So I'm sure that had something to do with it, but.
Was it also success when you got a little success in sports? That felt good and people were like, good job, you want to get more of that?
I don't know about that. I've never really considered myself too successful, so.
Oh, really? Being the only person and 40,000 people on to make the UFC, or one of the people in general, I think you're pretty to be a valedictorian, a professional athlete. I would say you're pretty successful.
I mean, there's thousands of professional athletes and valedictorians walking around too, though.
Not really. Yeah, thousands out of the 20 billion people that live on the planet or whatever it is. Now, it's women, right? Because I've seen some hot Native American women. Your girlfriend is one of them, actually.
Well, thank you.
And now, when did you guys start dating?
About 7.5 years ago.
So you're 29. So you were 22.
Yeah, I guess.
Now, in high school, do you get the hottest chicks in high school? Were you the man in high school? You seem kind of nerdy.
I don't think so. I am pretty nerdy,
You seem like you were scared. Like, the girls would have liked you, but you were scared of rejection. Right?
That's
how I was.
That's basically it, yeah. But I don't know if they would have liked me.
Did you go to prom?
I didn't go to prom, no. I actually got asked by a few people, but I wasn't all about that dressing up life. I was actually
getting laid. You weren't about having a good time.
No, I was goth. I wasn't going to put a suit on.
You were a goth kid?
Oh yeah. I had the chain pants and everything.
Jesus. Really?
Oh yeah. I've been looking for some pictures and I can't find any because, you know, goth people, they don't take pictures.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. They're allergic to light. So you were a goth. You were in the Marilyn Manson and,
Listen to some of the songs. Like, he's not a bad artist.
No, no.
I'll still listen to some of the songs. Like Papa Roach. What was it?
It's not goth.
Like,
did you paint your fingernails?
I did. Like, I think a few times.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my god.
Eyeliner? I never put eyeliner on. So I tried and I couldn't. So like, I would get squeamish whenever it would get close to my eye.
Gee, wow, that's horrible. That's
I know. Ridiculous. I was too scared to be
there
goth.
Some hot
I guess
goth girls. No, no hot cutters in the group, or like yeah. or chicks that you were there. Any you did you get laid? When was the first time you got laid? You were how old?
Like 15 or 16, probably.
Oh, so you got laid in high school?
Yeah. Like, well, after every fight, it was kind of easy.
After your pro fights?
Well, no, after my amateur fights, yeah.
So you, the girls must have been older.
Some of them, yeah.
And how, like 20?
Yeah.
So you were banging hot. Now, were these fights on the reservation?
No, there were never any MMA fights on the res until I was already, like, out of college.
So you're a 15-year-old kid. Your dad drives you to the fight, right?
I could drive.
Okay, you drive to the fight. You go beat up an old man, right?
One time when I think I was 16, I fought a guy that was like 38 or 39. He was balding. It was weird. He was balding, but he had a ponytail. And yeah, it was weird.
Wow.
And he looked real weird.
Wow.
I kind of felt bad for him.
Luke Rockhold?
No.
Oh, okay, okay. So you knocked him out?
No, I think I TKO ground and pound.
So you drive over there. You're 15 years old. Drive by yourself.
And this was at the city.
Do you
in
have
Rapid
a fight,
City.
Do you have a camp? A fight camp at all?
Kind of. We'd get all our guys together, and we'd have, like, most of the time on these cards, we'd have four or five guys on there, and so like the whole res, it seemed like, would go up. We'd fight in front of like 2,000, 2,500 people just on these small little local shows.
So you knock a guy out. You TKO him. Afterwards, there's an after party.
Yeah.
And you're 15 years old. You go to the after party.
Yeah,
and
trying to schmooze in there.
And grown women are coming up to you and like, hey, nice fight.
Yes. Most of the time.
And if it's white girls or black girls or what type of
just well, whatever worked.
Whatever you could take.
Yeah.
Okay. But then in college, you must have got laid South Dakota State, right?
Yeah, I did all right in college too. Being an athlete, like even when I was on the football team, I didn't actually play my first year. I was just on the scout team, but you know, so I wasn't getting like the nines and tens, but
you're getting the fours and fives. And
well, I wasn't going that far down. Damn,
the Maganias of the world.
I was thinking more like the six and sevens, you
right,
know,
right,
the ones that are like, oh, I can't get to starting quarterback. The lineman's too fat. Look at this guy; he's not
the scout team.
Yeah,
wow. the kid. All right, now did you encounter any racism at all when you were in college?
One time when I was in college, they wrote Prairie Niggers Go Home on the bathroom stall.
Wow.
Me and my roommate. He's from the same res as me. That's what they'll say to like natives on the prairie, I guess.
Wow. So you see that, and you know who did it? Do you have any suspicions?
No. One time too, me and my roommate were just in our room, and I guess some guys were playing video games and they were screaming fucking prairie nigger or something. And so we were like trying to find out who it was, but I don't know. I was like,
does that upset? Obviously it's going to upset you, but do you get mad and punch a wall, or do you just say, these people are ignorant assholes, fuck them?
No, I mean, like, it upsets me, but I try not to let it get to me. And no one, like, they never did it to my face, but I'm pretty light skinned. Most people ain't going to just know that I am native.
Right.
But
right.
My roommate, he's a darker skinned guy. And so if we were together, then they might know. But yeah, it's upsetting. But I mean, me beating up someone's not going to change how they feel about natives, you know.
It might actually. I don't
not
know.
For the better, probably.
It might change because they think out loud.
Yeah.
At least. Right. Wow. That's wow. I never even thought of that. I never heard that term before. That's just that's crazy.
When we was at some fights in South Dakota, and me and my girlfriend and my buddy Tim Welch, we were telling Crouch about some of the derogatory terms that people use to natives. So
wow. So now you graduate with a journalism degree.
Yep.
Right, which is, I don't know what you're doing with that.
No, I was working for, so after I graduated, I was actually working for a newspaper, a small, like, weekly newspaper that was local to the area. There's not a lot of newspapers that are hiring or anything. So
what kind of stuff were you writing for the newspaper?
I would do everything, really. I kind of felt like during sports seasons, I kind of got pigeonholed into that, and I didn't enjoy that the most. But they were easy, like those, and they were good to do whenever I was trying to train for a fight because I had a lot of time off still.
Now, so you're in college, you kind of realize I'm not going to be in the NFL. Did you think you'd be a pro fighter? Was that on the agenda?
Well, yeah, I was a pro fighter, like, after I was done with football, then I probably had my first pro fight right after. So I had my first pro fight when I was 19.
Like, are you making any money on that?
I made what I made was, I think I made 400 and 400, not 4,000 or 40,000. I'm still not making, right. 40. So I made 400 and 400, and they paid me all in ones.
No.
Out of the concession money.
And this is your first fight?
This is my first pro
against
fight.
Against Curtis Johnson?
Yeah.
So you knock out Curtis Johnson, one fight.
And Curtis Johnson, he comes out in fucking karate pants. he fought in karate pants.
Really?
Yeah, there was no commission in South Dakota, so I fought the guy in karate pants. I went out, threw a couple punches, he threw a kick, I caught it, took him down, flattened him out, and pounded him out.
So this is 2009, Fury Fight 7. Now, does the reservation come and support your family there?
No, this was close to where I went to college at. This was 400 miles away from my hometown.
And you're still in college at this point?
Yeah. I was a sophomore, probably. Maybe, yeah.
Now, I thought in the U.S. you can't play college sports if you go pro.
In that sport.
Oh, because so MMA is different than wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay.
What it is you, so, like, I had to go through a lot of stuff with the, I don't know what they're called.
Athletic commission kind of thing?
Well, the NCAA, so they're compliance officers. Each school has a compliance officer to make sure that all the students are in compliance with their schooling, with their high school classes, whatever they took. And what it was is I couldn't be on billboards. I couldn't be advertised. So if it was on the... Like, if it's on the radio, they couldn't say my name or something like that.
So what did they call you?
Well, I don't know. I probably wasn't main event. Actually, I think I was main event there because most of those small shows don't have many pro fights. So I was probably the only pro fight. So I was probably main event. But
so now, did you finish? How'd you do and end up doing in college wrestling?
I didn't do too well. I got second in conference once. The only time I went to conference, I didn't wrestle too much. So the fear of flying thing, like I didn't go to all the things. I think so 1 year.
Wait, hold on. Let's get into this fear of flying thing and then get back to that. Because, right, you don't want to fly.
No.
Have you ever flown before?
I guess when I was a baby, my dad took me on a plane.
Did fly. So you probably cried and blah, blah, blah. But most kids do.
Yeah.
So what will happen? Like, what do you envision happening? Why won't you get on an airplane?
So it's not like the actual being off the ground and flying. I'm claustrophobic, and it's the not being able to escape like a small metal tube.
Right, right. But I mean, but if you haven't been on a plane since you were a kid, how do you know that?
No. When I was in high school, we tried to take a flight to see my dad's grandma in like the New England area, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't get on the plane, so we didn't.
You started sweating?
Yeah, I had a panic attack bad. I'm
You're crying?
Oh yeah, it was bad. So I'm sitting in like the bathroom, just
are your
barely
parents
able
telling
to
you like, hey, you're
well, it was
a fighter.
Just my dad. My dad and my mom weren't together, and so my dad's like, well, what are we gonna do? Like, we gotta go. So I tell him, you guys just go, and I'll take the car home. You know, they said, no, we're not gonna go without you. So then we sit there for about an hour, and I'm like, well, let's just drive. So we drive.
Wow. your parents got divorced?
They were never married.
Are they together now?
No.
Is he still on the reservation?
Yeah.
They live together?
No.
Oh, that's where the anger comes in. So you're like,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. It's always been normal. Like, I don't ever remember my parents being together. I have a younger sister, but...
Is she from the same parents?
Yeah. But I think, like...
How old is she?
How old am I? She's probably 26, 27.
She hot? Sounds hot.
She's married to a guy named David, which is real fucking weird because my name's David and my dad's name's David.
Oh, wow. So she's calling out David in bed, and then that's weird. So you knock out this guy in one round, and then you fight again the next month, not even a month later, you fight Bryant Craven. So now you're a sophomore in college at this point?
Yeah, probably.
Now, are you hooked? I mean, this is it.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed, you know, the like training down at Next Edge, and getting into the, you know, more traditional martial arts. Like we had a Muay Thai coach there, and then we was doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I was still getting my wrestling in with my college team. So I really enjoyed, you know, just kind of this lifestyle, just getting in the gym and training and learning new things. And I really liked it. And that Bryant Craven, I think when I fought him, he was like 15-8, and it was my second pro fight. And he had like some smaller title in Denver, but they was trying to get me a fight, and they couldn't get me a fight. And then this guy took it, and they said, you know, this is all we could find. So I was like, well, all right, let's do it.
So so you end up beating him first round, Kimura. So you actually learned a couple of jiu-jitsu moves.
Yeah. Well, I think I knew a Kimura. That one's kind of easier to learn. You know, you grab the arm and you twist it. That was probably all I was thinking then.
Right. I mean, but you beat him quick. Now at this point, do you think you're the greatest fighter in the world?
No, I always had my head on pretty well. Like plenty of people were saying, oh, you could be UFC champ. You could be, oh, you should be in the UFC right now. You're ready for GSP. And I'm like, ah, I think I got plenty of ways to go because, you know, I was training with good people, like on the ground. I was training with, a black belt who could tap me out pretty easy. So I'm like, not thinking that I'm ready for, you know, to step in there with Liddell or nothing.
Now, is Shayna Baszler, now you knew her from South Dakota.
Yep, we trained together. She was one of the first people I met when I went to the gym.
Now, how'd you do against her? Because I heard she taps guys in the gym left and right.
Yeah, she could tap guys. I think she probably got me once or twice early. But
now, was that weird to you? Were you like, holy shit, why is this girl tapping me?
No, I don't think I ever was too like big-headed to think that people can't tap me, but getting tapped by a girl who's, 135-pound fighter probably wasn't the best for your ego, too.
Yeah, right. I've never been tapped by a girl, but I'm sure there's a billion of them. But I don't train. But I'm sure there's a billion of them that could tap me. But it would definitely be like, holy shit, I got to work on my technique and like blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So then you knock out Cody Skidmore. So now you have three fights. All three fights total don't even last 4 minutes long. You knock him out quick. And Fury fights eight. I mean, so now are you the king of the reservation at this point? I mean, you must be like, you come home. Are women throwing themselves at you?
Yeah, laying down in front of me, waiting for me to take them. No.
I don't
think so. I don't know.
Really? I mean, how many, now, have you ever seen a landing strip and think it was a tomahawk on a chick or no?
Got to have a little, yeah. No, I don't know. I never really.
Most Native American girls shave, by the way, or?
Not all the way.
Oh, really?
They'll kind of trim it up.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's all right. You can't. Right. So then you beat it. Then you go in the next fight 4-0. Now you go. You beat this guy Derek Abram, Crowbar MMA.
Oh yeah, that was yeah. So I had most of the fights I'd have like two or three guys fall out, and that's just the way it is on these small cards. Like, you know, the guys that are fighting down here at the lab now that are on these shows, they're always having guys fall out. My buddy Mike, he had a couple guys fall out. He's fighting next weekend, LFA, and he just got an opponent this week. So he's been training, guy fall out, then they don't get him anyone. And yeah, so it's tough. Like when I fought Abram, he was like 20-20 or something.
He was a man.
No, he was only like 25. He would just take whatever fight and then...
I mean, when you fight a guy like that who essentially, I wouldn't say is a can, but you're like, okay, this guy's got 20 losses. Is there like, I mean, do you still feel good about it or do you feel like I should be beating these guys?
Well, like every fight I go in, I feel like I should be beating them, but, you know, getting in there and getting a quick first round finish, like I'm doing what I need to do. And so after that fight, I think after that fight was when I went on Ultimate Fighter.
No, you fight Victory. That didn't count for your loss.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so then you go Ultimate Fighter. And you get you lose to Adam Ellis in a fight you were winning. Andy Ellis. Andy. In a fight you were winning. You would have won that fight.
There was a little bit.
That fight. You were winning. But it was the third round you got caught, right?
It was the second. End of the second. And I think it would have went to the third. But on the show, it was only going two rounds. And I think... I felt like I won the second round pretty good, and then like I felt like he might have won the first. I couldn't get a takedown, but he tapped me out, so it didn't matter.
Now this is your first real competition, though. This guy.
Yeah.
This is Lisa Ellis's husband.
I was supposed to fight someone else. He was actually a replacement. Someone else didn't make weight. Like I forgot what his name is. He's from like the kind of like the redneck area, like the South. Tyler Minton or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I know Tyler Minton.
I think it was supposed to be him, and I think he didn't make weight. I remember correctly.
Now this is your big shot. I mean, you must be thinking like, okay, I'm 4-0. I can get on here. This is my. I can make some money.
Yep.
I could get off the reservation. I don't know if you want to get off the reservation, but
I like the res. I'm gonna move back after.
You could have the biggest house on the res, right? Yeah,
biggest teepee.
You don't have teepees, do you?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is your thing. You got this.
Yep.
Then and now, how much is that pressure fucking with you?
So still same thing. Like the biggest, the weirdest thing was like whenever I got to Vegas and then they put you in your hotel room and they're like, all right, don't leave. So you sit down and it was during the Olympics.
It was during the Olympics.
So I turn on the Olympics and I'm sitting there and we're in the hotel for like 2 or 3 days before we go to the fight. So we don't actually go to the house. You have to win to go to the house. So we're sitting there and, you know, I'm trying to get workouts in. I got to call them. I'm like, oh, could I get this to eat? Or, oh, hey, I need to go work out. So they take you somewhere to go work out. So that was, it was weird. Like, but I mean, it's weird for everyone. You know, yeah, it's not just weird
for me.
But
for you, who's a closet, now, you, yeah, have you been diagnosed with claustrophobia?
I mean, I'd never gone to like
a
claustrophobia doctor.
Right.
I took classes down here, in Phoenix for fear of flying. At the airport, they did free classes, and it was a former, like a retired pilot. And so he's in there, and he's talking, and he's giving you all the stats you always hear. Oh, flying's so much safer, flying's this, flying's that. And I'm telling him, you know, that's not my problem. My problem's not that I'm afraid to go up in the air. My problem's that I'm stuck, and I can't get out.
That's how I feel like I used to work on cruise ships. I feel like I was stuck on the boat. I couldn't fucking leave the boat.
But even when I was in college and we'd go on trips in a bus, I felt that way.
You start sweating?
Yeah. Like, I'd be sitting right by the door, and then after we'd get going for a little ways, then I'd be all right, and I'd be...
Now, what starts going through your head at this point? You're like, oh my God, I can't leave. Yeah, what if something happens? I gotta get the fuck out of here.
It's hard to explain. It's just your heart rate starts picking up, and your breathing starts getting shallow.
Do you get testy? Someone touches you, like, get off me? Yeah. Okay, now at this point, Ultimate Fighter, have you met your girlfriend's name, by the way, is, can you say her name?
Emmy Hermanyhorses.
Have you met her yet?
We met in high school.
She
went to a different high school, but her brothers wrestled, so we kind of knew each other.
Now, how did you pick her up? Because you seem like you have no game.
No, I don't. I have zero game.
How did you get her?
You know, just being a big shot.
But where'd you meet her?
We had known, and then...
Is there like a dance?
No, there was a kind of, I'll call it the county fair in my hometown. She went there to see some of her friends, and then we hung out a couple times. And
but you went up to her, you're like, hey, she's a cute girl. She's a very beautiful girl. I was like, damn. I'm like, wow, this guy, you know, he really is the king of the res.
Yeah.
So you see her and you're like, this is a cute chick. Now, do you go up to her?
Yeah,
and like,
that's what I went,
Do you have a pickup line? Do you say to her,
no,
like,
we just, she was there and like, so she was hanging out whenever her friends were busy. So she came and hung out with me. And then.
Now, how long does it take you to, because she seems like she's a teacher.
She's a teacher now. Yeah, she's a teacher now.
Smart girl, in shape. Now, do the Native American girls, do they put out quicker, or is it 3 dates?
God, I think it's about the same.
Same as white
girls. Well, like when I was in college, you know, girls put out quick, but I think it's just dependent on where they're at, where they're at in life, mostly.
But Native girls, I would think they would put out quicker, but then I would think maybe do you have to have your like the chief's permission?
Call the chief. Hey, this girl's coming over to my house. Is that all right?
You don't have to have.
No.
Okay. Now, all right. So you and her are together for what, 7 years now?
Yeah, seven.
But no ring. Is that because your parents didn't get married, or is she pressuring you?
She's pressuring me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
When you guys have sex, is it rain? No, I'm kidding. Okay. It's weird. All right. So then you lose Ultimate Fighter. When you come back to the res, are people like, keep your head up? Because I know everyone saw it.
Yeah, everyone. So, well, it was tough because, before the Ultimate Fighter came out, before I left, they sent out a camera crew. So there was like four guys, high quality camera, professional. They did a, you know, that commercial.
I saw that. It was great.
And, yeah. It's on like YouTube or whatever still. And so they did that. So there was, and then I go, then I lose. That's all right. You know, well, I mean, it wasn't all right at the time. It was pretty fucking shitty and sad.
Did you cry afterwards?
Oh yeah. It fucking sucked. On the episode, they showed me crying and I'm like, fuck, everyone was fucking crying after they lost. Yeah. And I'm just like sitting there with my head in my hands, just tears streaming. I'm like, these motherfuckers. But So after that, the episode doesn't air. You know, they film it for 6 weeks and then it comes on air. So after after about 4 weeks, they start playing my commercial. So people are seeing it and then they're getting more excited. Like at this time, I went back home and I'm still at home and I'm kind of, you know, keeping my head down. Like I don't want to, because I'm not supposed to tell people that I lost. I'm not supposed to say nothing. So the episode's coming out and everyone like on Facebook and, you know, all the social media is like, oh, I think MySpace was still a thing back then. And they're all blowing me up to like, I can't wait. I'm just like, Jesus. So I was kind of helping coach football. And when the episode aired, I was at a football game and we're coming home and all the kids are like, Bulldog, so how'd you do? How'd you do? The episode came out. And I'm like, so I kind of get up in front of the bus. And I'm like, all right, guys, so I've been around because I lost.
Yeah.
So that was tough. You know, everyone's blowing me up. Like,
did you live by yourself at this point?
I was staying with my mom because I was living somewhere else to train. Then I was like, all right, well, I don't need to pay now, rent.
Is your mom being cool? Is she making you food and making you feel better?
Yeah.
Are your parents strict like that? Or are they kind of, they're teachers. It seemed like they would be kind of cool.
What do you mean by strict or cool?
Like it seems like my wife's mom's a teacher and it seems like she looks at me, not like one of her students, but some things happen. She's like, she compares it. Teachers seem better equipped with kids than not.
My parents were pretty chill. Like they just, I don't know. Like they just kind of let me do whatever.
You ever asked them why they didn't get married?
No. Well, like I said, I never really remembered them being together. Like, I think when my mom was pregnant with my sister, they broke up. They wasn't together.
But you never said as
anymore.
A kid, hey, how come, you know, I don't know.
How come Stevie has a mom and dad?
Right. Yeah. No. How come cry with River down the block? Yeah.
How come they have two parents?
Yeah, you never asked them that?
No. Like I said, it was just kind of always normal. I don't know. It never really crossed my mind.
Is there
mind.
A lot of not incest, but accidental incest on the tribe? I would think that there might be.
I don't think so. Because the families are pretty tight. Like, you know who you're related to most of the time. So it's to be accidental. Like, I feel like you would really have to. I feel like it'd be few and far between, I guess, because you really know who you're. Like who you're related to. Like my family, we have get togethers. Well, whenever I was in high school, we would make fun of it. We was like, oh, what? Julie, my niece, she lost a tooth. We better have a get together.
Right. But so, your girlfriend, her last name is Hermione Horses.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I think that's the coolest name ever. I wish my wife's last name was I would have kept her name if that was the case. But, is that normal? Like, cause and you're Michelle. Now, what type of like when they go through like the roll call at the reservation? Are they like, the red tree here, brown ribbon here?
There are a lot of cool names. Like, we would even kind of make fun of it. Like, see who could, you know, like who has the longest last name.
What are some of the last names of your friends?
I know Iron Shield, Swiftwater, Good Crow, Big Crow. God, now I'm blanking. But, like, there's a ton. There's a ton like that. Pretty Shield.
A lot
of Buffalo.
Now, are they related, the Shields, the Pretty Shield and Iron Shield?
No, so they're not related. The last – what happened was, like, whenever people got on the reservation and got their – so they got an English name. They got a – American name, I guess. So if there was before someone was called Hermione Horses, that was just their name. And then, so after they got on the reservation, then they said, okay, now your name's Adam. Hermione Horses can be your last name. So that's where the last names come from.
Got it. Now, your last name is Michelle. Did people make fun of you for having a stupid last name? Because they had cool
like,
last name?
Stupid French last name. So it was funny. Whenever I fought in Canada, we fought in Quebec, I think. No, Montreal. I don't know what I'm talking about. And so I go up there, and Michaud's a French name. So guys are coming up to me, like, in the hotel, and they know that I'm David Michaud. And in French, apparently, I didn't know this. My dad doesn't speak French or nothing. My grandma didn't. It's Michaud in French. So guys are coming up to me and they're speaking French to me. Oh, David Michaud.
And you have no idea.
And I'm like, oh, what's up? Hey, bro, what's up? And I'm like, I'm I'm just a stupid American. I don't know French.
It's hilarious. Now,
but so what also is funny about that, we was up there and I fought Olivier Mercier, and fucking some of the guys at the hotel came up to me and they thought I was him because we both had the, you know, the curly hair. We're about the same
size. You
kind of
look like that on the thing. Yeah. It looked like you guys were like a boy band.
Yeah.
There was definitely like that. Yeah, yeah.
So I had a couple guys come up to me and even ask me for my autograph, and they had like his picture. And I'm like, yeah. And, you know, I'm like, oh, what should I put? I would knock this guy out or something.
I'm like, I'm going to lose or something. Yeah. You should have did.
OAM, going to lose. But then he won, so.
Oh, whatever. That dude's a stud. So now you go back to the reservation. You're living with your mom. Because I remember me, even like wrestling in high school, if I lost a match, I wouldn't leave my dorm room because the prep school for like a week or two. I feel like I let everyone down. Even though looking back, I let no one down. But except for myself, I felt like everyone knew me as the wrestler.
Yeah.
Everyone saw me as the wrestler. I'm not doing my job. Therefore, I'm worthless if I'm not the wrestler, which is fucked up when you're 14 or 15. That's sometimes how you think.
And it was tough. Like, after I lost there, like I said, everybody on social media was blowing me up. They're like, oh, he's going to go all the way. He's going to be the next champ. And then the episode comes out and they don't even show my whole fight. They show like just me getting beat up and then tapping and losing.
I saw the whole fight on YouTube though.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Right.
They show me like getting beat up, tapping and losing. And I'm like, what the fuck? So, but everyone was still supportive after this. I mean, I was down, but I had time to process it before the episode came out. At least, you know, I had like 6 weeks or whatever to process it. Like I knew the episode was going to come out. I knew that they was going to show me losing. I knew that they was going to show me, well, I didn't know they was going to show me crying. I wasn't ready for that, but everyone was still real supportive. A couple days after that, I ended up having ACL surgery.
I had that.
Yeah.
Fucking
I tore it like a couple weeks before I went on the show, and it just took a while.
You fought with it? A torn ACL?
Yeah. I felt
mine.
I felt like with how much they was kind of pushing me, since they was putting sending a camera crew out for me, I was thinking, oh, maybe they'll kind of give me an easier guy and I'll get a couple wins. Maybe I won't win the whole show, but maybe I'll get a couple wins and then I'll still be in the UFC.
But aren't you worried every time you throw a kick that your leg might fly out of a socket?
So it actually, what it was like, it felt worse to wrestle than to strike. Like to try to drive in on a takedown would be the worst.
When I tore my ACL and I went for a penetration step, my leg just gave out. It was like I had like jiggly leg. I had no. Is that how yours felt as well?
Yeah, mine actually. It happened. We were just in over under, and the guy like tried to drop down and do a knee tap. I stepped out and I lifted him up. You know, something I've done million times probably, and just a little step lift and it just gave out.
So you had surgery on it after the show.
After the show.
So
yeah.
did you do the whole year rehab and do it right?
I fought probably about 6.5 months after. I don't think I did it right.
That's fucking brilliant. All right. So you fought a guy, Mark Scudder.
Yep.
Victory FC. So now we're stepping up the promotion, and it goes to the unanimous decision, which that was awesome.
So in this fight, the fight was at 175 because I was still fat. When I tore my ACL, I got up to like 230. I was just lost probably 10 pounds of muscle in my leg.
Yeah, I know
gained
exact,
about
I know,
50 pounds
exactly
of blubber around my stomach. Just
you can't
soft.
Do anything. All you can do is run straight or the bike.
Yeah. So I just got so nasty. Like, and I was helping my dad coach wrestling, and there's still some pictures of me, like I'm standing there in a shirt and the bottom of my shirt isn't touching anything because I got that fat guy belly. So it's just hanging straight down. And I'm like, oh, you just looked so nasty. I probably smelled bad.
Now, are you with her many horses at this time?
Yeah, I was still with her.
And she's cool with this?
She stayed with me. We'll say that. I don't know if she was cool with it.
Would she get off your ass and do something? Is she that kind of, because she seems like, look, I met her. I thought she was mad at you last night because she just was giving me that dislike, I'm mad at my boyfriend thing. But she's also a girl that takes no shit. Like I remember last time you came to the show, I don't think you were there, and I was asking her about her last name and stuff, And then somebody said something like, "Yeah, how many times do you see the town drunk or something in your?" And she was like, "Excuse me?" And it was the guy. I knew who he was. He was a comedian, but he made a stupid joke, offensive joke. She got pissed, and I was like, "Oh, he's just an idiot." And I was like, "Oh no!" But I could tell that this girl takes no shit.
Yeah, she'll get on you if you say something she doesn't like. I was actually kind of worried whenever the first time we went to your show. I'm like, just don't fucking say nothing. All right.
Yeah.
If he says something, you just smile.
Oh,
I'm just like, you just smile and nod if you don't like
because
it.
Because she can.
She'll take offense. Yeah.
Yeah. She seems like that, but she seems super sweet and cool. She likes you.
Yeah,
but
she is. She's like real nice.
She'll let you know.
Yeah.
So okay. So you fight this guy now. Do you miss weight at this point? Because no. Catch weight.
It was at 175. We scheduled it at 175 because whenever I, so they called me, you know, like 2 months before the fight, and they're like, "Hey, are you gonna be able to fight?" And I'm still kind of just barely starting my workouts, and I'm probably about 215. I'm like, "Fuck!" Like, I don't know if I'll make 170. So we get it at 75. The guy's all right with it. He's tall. He's like 6'4", 6'5". Like super tall, so he's not worried about it. So all right, so I start working out hard, trying to make it. End up at the fight. I'm weighing in at 175, fat belly, fat shit belly. Not in the best shape. Still not in good shape. I'm telling my coach in the back, Bruce. I'm like, fuck it. All right, so. All right, so whenever I get tired, I'm going to kick him. I'm going to kick him in the nuts hard. I'm telling him this in the back. I'm saying, whenever I get tired,
Before the fight, yeah.
Oh, God. And he's like, you'll be all right. Just trust your conditioning. So we get out there. We start going a little bit. Probably about 45 seconds in, I throw a kick and ends up hitting him in the dick. And I'm like, fuck, I fucking wasted it.
Oh,
I remember thinking that in the fight. And I'm like, God fucking damn it, I wasted it. Because you do it again, you might lose point. Well, yeah. I don't know. Some refs will let you do it 15 times, whatever.
Yeah.
So first round, I win the first round. I hit him with some good overhands. I closed his eye. Second round, between rounds, I'm sitting on the stool. I'm like, I'm fucking tired. Like I'm gassed, you know. So he's like, "All right, well, let's go. We'll win this round, and then we'll coast the third."
He tells you this,
yeah. So all right, so I go out there, try to get a takedown, miss it, get taken down. I'm on my back, and I'm just hanging on because I'm tired. So I'm just hanging on. Guy's on top of me, and I'm like, "Thought we were gonna bang," and I don't know if he can hear me. And I'm telling him this, and he's trying to get off. So. Third round comes around.
So now it's 1-1.
Yeah, now it's 1-1 for sure. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, I got some gas back. Because all I did, I didn't try to stand up. It was probably boring as fuck. I just laid on my back and got beat up for a bit. But, you know, I could take a beating. So that was all right. So I got beat up. Third round comes. I just keep taking him down. I just wrestle him, fucking gas myself out. But he stands up and I just double leg him. He stands up, I just double leg him. So I end up winning the fight 2-1, unanimous decision. And yeah, like I
now,
knew.
Do you feel good after this? Or
no,
you...
I feel like I'm a piece of shit because I'm still fat and out of shape. But I got the win, you know.
You got the
it
win.
It was the first fight back around the area, where I'm from, in a long time. So they wanted me there, and I got paid, you know, decent money.
I mean, so was it, we're talking about VFC. It's in Omaha.
Yeah,
so
it's like, a decent show. No. VFC, they're from Omaha, but this was in Rapid City.
Right. Now, I mean, we say decent money. We're talking about like $2,000?
Yeah, I think I got 2 and 2 plus tickets, but I sold a lot of I normally can sell a lot of tickets.
Now, do you have to try and call people up? Like, hey, you want my tickets to my fight?
No, mostly it's just like Facebook and Twitter.
Does your girl do that for you? She sell them for you?
No.
Ugh. You gotta tell her to get on that. hey, my husband's fighting.
So, normally I have my buddies from back home do it, and... You know, I'll give them like a little cut, but it sucks though because most of the time people don't buy until the week of. So right. I'm trying to cut weight and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, hey, you got tickets?"
Are they asking for comps?
Some people do, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'll give you the bro price, $25."
Right.
They're like, "I thought everyone else had that." Said, "Everyone's my bro."
The bro price. So then, all right. So now you're still undefeated. So now the next one, you're back in VFC. You fight Ian Stonehouse.
Yep.
You fucked that guy up. Second round, you beat him.
Yeah, I think I got a rear naked choke. I flattened him out.
Then you fight Cary Vaynier by guillotine.
Okay, yeah. Cary, he was like a Bellator vet. He beat some guys in Bellator.
And you beat him. So now we're now we're like flying now.
Yeah. After I beat Kerry, I thought, you know, I thought there was a good chance that I'd be getting a call.
Now who do they call? They call the reservation and ask for you? Yeah,
they call the tribal chief, the president. No, I mean it's just like anybody else, you know.
But do you have an agent, manager at this point?
I didn't have an agent or anything at this point. Dave Martin was kind of helping me. He's from the area where I was training in Sioux Falls, but we didn't have anything official. And so after this, I ended up, after that fight, so at that fight, actually, I guess I'll give some backstory. Brian Barberina fought on that card. Mike Della Torre fought on that card. And the big guy with the mustache,
Tim Johnson
fought on that card. So four guys from that card got called up. But at that fight, so I saw Brian and John Crouch and DLT, and my coach Bruce was like, yeah, that's Ben Henderson's coach. And I was like telling him, you know, I'd like to try to go and see, you know, how I stack up against these other UFC guys, or not these other UFC guys, but these UFC guys. So he said, all right, well, let's go talk to him. So we talked to him and I asked him if I could come and check out the gym.
Is this before your fight or after?
This probably was after. Maybe it was before. I don't know.
Before, he might, you get your ass kicked. He's like, yeah, no, not so much.
He says yes, then I get fucked up. He's like, yeah, and that happened. Lose my number.
I got booked to do a show. It was like a bunch of Mormons saw me, and they booked me before me my show. And then after they saw my act, like, yeah, we're not going to bring you to our school. So I was better off not performing. So then after the show, then now Crouch is cool with it?
Yeah, he's cool. Not gonna say like he liked me right away, but you know, talking to him, and he said, yeah, we have like a fighter house down here or down in Phoenix that guys who come to train, they can stay at, and you know, just see how you like it. And so after that fight, I went back to Pine Ridge, and I stayed there until wrestling season was over. I think that's what
it was. Do you have to work at all, like a day job?
Well, I was still working at the newspaper. I was still
the whole time.
Yeah.
This whole time you're working at a newspaper.
Yeah. Well, not at the newspaper. So I was able to do a lot of things. I never had to go into the office. Like, I was able to do everything on my iPad, type everything up, send it in.
You're writing articles about local football teams and stuff?
Well, not just that. During like school year, I was doing all the sports stuff, but I was doing all kinds of stuff. Like, I covered a protest, and like I was doing all kinds, like whatever they needed, I could do.
So you must be a pretty good writer.
I mean,
if you're good enough to be in a newspaper, I mean, that's a lot of writing you got to do.
I was doing a lot back then, and it was fun. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Do you give your slant? Is it opinion pieces, or are you just kind
of? No, I never try to do opinion pieces. Anytime I can get away from it, like a column or something, I'm like, I don't want anyone to know what I think.
You just write what happened.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck you guys. I don't
want. That's what I want to know, the news. I don't want to have to hear, you know, I turn into Fox News. It's Tucker's opinion, and then I put on this, and then it's, what's your name's opinion? Yeah. All right. So now we get called. We get the call. You're fighting G Lee?
Jing Liang,
right? So now this is in China.
So how I got the call?
Vegas.
So I was staying at the fighter house. So while I was there, for about a month. I had only planned on coming down to Phoenix. I guess we're in Phoenix right now. I only planned on coming down for about a month, seeing how it was. After the month was over, you know, I talked to Crouch, and I was just getting along swimmingly with everyone. Like, I love the guys, everyone, the gym atmosphere was great. And I'm talking to him, and I said, you know, I don't have a fight. I've been looking for something. You know, could I just stay? He said, yeah, keep getting in there, helping guys out, doing what you're doing. And we got no problems with that. So I'm staying at the fighter house still. One morning, it's like 6:15 or something. I get a phone call, and I wake up, and it's Crouch. Hello, what's up? He said, there's a short notice at 70 in the big show in Vegas. I want to put your name in. Is that okay? And I'm like half dead. I'm still half asleep. I'm like, whoa, oh yeah, of course. Yes, yes, please do. Yes, yes, please. So he said, all right, well, get ready. And it's like 2 weeks out. So I wake up and I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, then, you know, I wasn't planning on waking up till like 8 and then getting to the gym about 9. I'm like, oh, well, there's no sleeping now. So I go to the gym and not doing anything different. But yeah, that's how I got the call.
Now, when you walk into the lab, everyone says, I've heard that Ben Henderson, when you train with Ben Henderson, it's he's not going easy on you.
No, he'll take your legs off.
So you walk into the MMA lab in Scottsdale. You're looking around. I mean, this is not, you're no longer in South Dakota. So you're looking at who? Ben Henderson?
So the first day I got here, I left Pine Ridge at about 7 at night. I drove all the way down here.
Is your girl with you?
No, it was just me. I drove all the way, drove straight through the night, didn't stop, didn't sleep.
12 hours, 15 hours?
18, 17, 18.
Didn't sleep.
Got here at 3 in the afternoon. I show up, you know, I'm like, oh, hey, Crouch, I'm here. You know.
You probably stink.
Probably. I still stink, still probably from that day. But so I show up, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm here. He said, oh, cool. We're having sparring today. Do you want to jump in? And I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to be the guy who's like, oh, I showed up, but I'm going to watch. Everyone look at me like I'm a pussy. So I jump in.
You're
no sleep or nothing.
Mind.
Fucking, oh, I remember Joe Riggs kicked me in the ribs so fucking hard. I thought they went through my butthole.
So you're like, you want to join in. You're like, so you're being a tough guy.
Yeah, and I jump in.
You didn't say, I mean,
rounds.
I think if you would have said, hey, I just drove 18 hours. Maybe, is there okay? Can I take a nap and come back tomorrow? Yeah. Like, I think he would have been okay with that, right?
He would have. He's cool. But at the time, you know, it's like,
you don't know him.
You don't want to be
that guy.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so you go in there. Who's the first guy you go against?
Probably, I think Riggs was the first guy, and he beat the fuck out of
me. Is he trying to take your head off?
I don't think he was trying to knock me out, but he was working the body pretty good.
And now, but you, I mean, you're good though. I mean, you're 8-0 at this point.
I mean,
7-0.
I'm decent. Like,
so you're holding your own against Riggs?
Not then. That's for sure.
Okay, so Riggs leaves. Okay, and then who's next?
I think I did 3 in a row, and then I sat out one. Then I did 1 on, 1 off. I don't remember who it all was.
Was Ben Henderson in that group?
Yeah, he was somewhere in there.
Was he fucking you up too?
Oh yeah, he'll fire some leg kicks off, and
so now you go against Joe Riggs and Ben Henderson as your first day in the lab. Now do you get back in your car and drive back to South Dakota?
Yeah, like, immediately after I say fuck these guys.
I mean,
so then, you know, just go to the fighter house, get everything set up. In my head, I'm like, man, well, I know that wasn't the best that I could do. So I'm like, all right, like, not saying that I'm going to beat him next Wednesday or on Saturday when we spar, but like, I'm going to show him a lot better look than what they just got. So for me, mostly it was just that I couldn't go out like that. You know,
yeah,
I couldn't go out like a bitch. Like,
and now they're
just
thinking, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
He's not, I mean, he's okay, but you know, nothing special.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. So then, all right. So then you go back in there the next day and I got some sleep and you fuck everyone up and you knock everyone at the gym out?
No.
At the same time?
Next day is wrestling. So I'm sure I did decent there.
Okay. All right. And then now do you know at that point, this is my new home?
Not yet. I mean, still got to kind of, you know, like, everyone was real nice, but you don't really fall in a groove with people that fast. Like, after probably a week or two, starting to get to know people more and more.
And it's Ben Henderson. Is Mitch Clark there at the time?
Mitch was there, yeah. He was...
You were beating him, right?
He wasn't at the fighter house. Who was at the fighter house? I think... No, Jordan Johnson was in the... He was at the lab. I don't know who was at the house then, but yeah, Mitch was there. Jordan,
Moraga
was there. Brian was there. Mike De La Torre, Scott Holtzman. I mean, kind of the same crew still.
Yeah.
Tim Welch, my buddy Frank Ramsey. They like, and I just got along real well with everyone right away. And I knew this was a good gym.
Did people know at that point, like, this is the Bulldog? This is the famous guy from Pine Ridge?
No, like, God, no. No one knows and no one cares.
Nobody, really? The legend of the Bulldog?
The legend. I don't think the legend reached all the way to Phoenix quite yet.
No one gave a fuck? Joe Riggs wasn't impressed by your...
Yeah.
Okay, so then, all right, so now we got our first fight in the UFC. You're fighting Li Jianglang, who, by the way, since he fought you, is going on a tear.
He's doing real well for himself.
He's been knocking people out left and right, being good guys.
Yeah.
So you fight him. I thought you won that fight.
Yeah, it was close. I had a couple moments. You know, I got a pretty good suplex on him. Well, not a true suplex, but I put him on his head good. I remember hitting that, and I was thinking, all right, well, he's got to be rocked or he's got to be hurt. So... He rolled to kind of turtle position, and I didn't have a strong grip on his back. And so I tried to just jump out to the side. I figured if I throw 15 punches while he's hurt, they're going to finish it. Start hitting him, and the fucker just starts standing up. I'm like, what the fuck? I just folded you up. Your knees fucking hit your face. End of the second round, I had his back. I tried to latch on to a rear naked choke, and instead of going palm to palm, which I should have, I went in my armpit, and he was able to, you know, grab my wrist and pull it down. So I had a couple of spots where I was close to a finish and I couldn't get it. What lost me the fight in the third, I was winning. I was on top. I was beating him up. I took him down. I was on top, kind of ground and pounding him for a while. And halfway through the third, he starts to get a reversal, and I try to jump into a guillotine, lose it. He ends up on top. So he's on top.
And he's all sweaty and slippery.
He's on top for the last 2 minutes. So he wins that round. He wins the fight.
Now, by the way, I say he's been, since then, he's been on a, now he's on a 4-fight winning streak, knocked out Zach Otto, beat Frank Camacho, knocked out Bobby Nash. He beat Diego Lima. So he lost to some guy, Nakamura and Nordin Taleb, but he's, you know, this is not some schlub. This is a guy's on a 4-fight winning streak. So you lose that fight, but it was a short notice fight. It was a good fight. It was very competitive. You could have won. Does Sean Shelby say anything to you like, hey, good job, or anybody tell you like hey, don't worry, we're not going to cut you, or do you think you're going to be cut?
No, I don't think I'm going to be cut after that. I actually had to leave right away. I had to go to the hospital because my eye was all swollen up and they thought it could have been a busted orbital. Like, I felt like it was fine. I tell them it was fine. But it sucked because I had to go to the hospital and it's, what is it? Is it Labor Day weekend? What is that?
Something where it's packed.
Yeah, and so like Vegas is packed. Assholes. It's about... I fought early. I think I was the first fight on the card. So I'm leaving at like 4:15, 4:30. It takes us probably an hour and a half to get to the hospital. And then we get in there, you know, they CAT scan, x-ray my head and say it's all right. I'm like, well, fuck, came all this way. And by the time we go back, it's already done. I don't think...
Now, are you fuming or just... Like, cause I remember... what's his name came to my show? Jimmy, the guy who's ranked second in the world at like... At like 35,
Jimmy Rivera
was saying he was so angry when his fight pulled out that his girlfriend had to give him a blowjob, and he was like, "No, I don't." He was that angry. Now,
I don't think I've ever been mad enough to say no to a blowjob. That's very pretty angry.
Now horses, right? You could call her horses, or you don't call her horses.
No,
you can't just for short or like nay. Okay, no. So her many horses. She says, "Listen, I know you lost in the UFC your first fight. It's okay. Just lie down. I'll take care of you." Or
no.
that doesn't happen?
No, she's a teacher. I can't talk about it.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe she can teach things like that. All right, okay, so now you fight the fight that I saw. You beat Garrett Whiteley.
Yep.
Who's a good fighter.
I was in Phoenix, yeah.
In Phoenix. Now you're a rock star. You win that UFC fight. Then you fight, you go to Canada, you fight OAM. And that was a tough fight. That kid was good.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I dropped him in the second. I felt like I could have, I think I probably won the second. He won the first, and he hurt me to the body with the kick. And it actually ended up, like, kind of breaking my solar plexus. I had a fractured solar plexus. And in the third, so I came out, and I was hurting. And, you know, I'm thinking, all right, I got to throw some big shots and I got to finish him. I can't let him take me down. Throw some big shots. He gets my back, takes me down, puts in a body triangle, and it's fucking...
You already have a broken solar plexus.
It's killing me, and I can't really defend the choke too well. Give up the choke, and he ends up getting a finish there.
Now, I mean, you're in Canada. Everyone's cheering. You lost. Is this just the worst?
It was pretty bad, yeah. It was pretty rough. I mean, it ended up being a lot worse because I ended up getting cut after that. So after that fight, they was telling me, you know, stay ready for something short notice. And I tell them, okay, I can do short notice, but it'll have to be at 70 because those two fights, those two fights in the UFC were at 55 against Jing Liang. It was at 70. So I tell them, okay, I can do short notice at 70. And I wait, and that's... That fight was in, I think, April, and waiting for a couple months. Well, it took about a month and a half, you know, for my chest to start feeling better. And then, so I started training, tell them I'm good, you know, whenever. And then it was like late November, maybe December, when it was like the purge, when like 60 UFC fighters got cut.
I remember that. And I was like, dude, this dude has taken two short notice fights, one short notice fight, lost a split decision, 1-1. I mean, he could easily be 2-1 in the UFC. Why do you cut a guy off one note? Plus, you're the only Native American in the UFC at that point, right?
Yeah, I think so, probably.
What, yeah. What about that one guy that fought Ben Askren, who he had like 50 fights or something? I think it was something. Was he? He had like a. I forgot his last name. All right, now it's gonna bother me. He was good though.
I think I know who you're talking about. Dan Hornbuckle.
Yeah. Is he Native American?
Yeah, he is. He's
What tribe is he?
Eastern Cherokee, I think. I met him once.
My wife is part Cherokee. Was he nice to you?
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
So then, all right. So you go to RFA. You fuck up Chris Hugh quickly.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about that fight. Yeah, I beat Chris Hugh. 10-finger choke. Same thing I hit on Kerry Vanier.
Then you fight Diego Lima. Yeah, which was I thought an amazing. That was a war.
Yeah, it was a good fight. You know, I thought I did enough to pull it out.
I thought you did too.
I guess
no, that was a war, and I thought you won that fight. I was like, and Diego Lima's a good fighter, Ultimate Fighter. Yeah. I mean, that was. Is there anything you would do differently?
Well, I dropped him. I dropped him at the end of the first. And I jumped on and I didn't do enough to get the finish. Instead of jumping, I jumped into like half guard. I should have tried to stay up and pass the legs. And it's hard. You know, whenever you drop someone, it's hard to keep your composure, I guess. But yeah, he went down and I should have maybe stacked the legs and dropped some bombs. I jumped into half guard and you're not able to generate quite as much.
Yeah, but then you fuck up Cody Wilson. You beat Jake Lindsay, the librarian. He's a good fighter. Jake Lindsay's a good fighter. And then finally, we had your last fight, right? Which was, hold on, I just lost it.
No, after that, I lost to Ciro Rodriguez.
Yeah, that was
a guy from Brazil on an LFA card.
I saw that. Now, that fight was, that guy hit so hard, and that guy looked like he was 300 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He was pretty stacked up. And I hadn't seen anything on him. So I had seen, I think I seen one fight from like 7 or 8 years ago, and I couldn't find any video on him. And I was, I'm like, well, I don't watch too much video anyway, so I wasn't too worried about it. But it said he was coming up from 55, so like, oh, well, he won't be too big. He shows up and yeah, he was huge.
Huge.
Like, damn, this motherfucker.
He lost to Dakota Cochran, which I thought, yeah, he lost. I thought he won that fight, but I was like, man. I watched that guy. I'm like, uh-oh, Ciro, this dude right here. Now, is that the hardest you've been hit?
So I don't remember whenever I got dropped. I had thought that in the back, I was actually telling my coaches, I was like, man, so what? He must have caught me behind the head, and I bounced off my face, and I came to whenever my head bounced. I said, no, he hit you with a hook, and you hit your butt, and then you like rolled to your face. And I thought that I just dropped straight down to my face because I woke up whenever my forehead hit the mat. So I guess that was the hardest I've been hit. And then I remember I covered and I was trying to get up, but I still wasn't aware enough. I still wasn't in it enough to like have any strength. I was trying to get up, but he kind of jumped on my back and started throwing some more, and I wasn't able to move too well.
Yeah, so, no, I was worried about you. But then I texted you afterwards. I saw you on Facebook. You posted like, hey, everybody, I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I felt fine. I didn't have... like I didn't have any concussion syndromes or anything, but they say, you know, if you go unconscious, you've got a concussion. So I had one, but I didn't have any light aversion or light sensitivity or, you know, lightheadedness or anything. But
so you walk back to next week you go back to the lab. Are people looking at you like, uh-oh, like, is it awkward or?
No, I mean, guys always have big fights and, you know, people lose like, guys at the gym know how to act. You know, it's just one of those things. It's the sport we're in. It's the profession we're in.
Dude, you're better you than me. Because I was like, damn. But now we have another fight coming up.
Well, then I fought after that, too. Who was my last fight?
It says the last one, it says Ciro. Are you going to fight after that?
No, yeah. I fought for Sparta Combat League October 28th.
How'd you do?
I won.
Nice. Well, it's not on your wiki page.
Well, they must have gave up on Wiki after I lost. They called it a day. They said, "Well, this motherfucker."
Okay, so you fought in October. Because I remember you saying you were like, "Hey, you can have tickets to my if you guys want tickets to my fight." Blah, yeah. Blah, on Facebook. Okay, so you fought again. Okay, and we're looking at that. So now we have an 11-4 win, 5 knockouts. It doesn't have Sherdog. Did this fight really happen, or did you dream about this?
I hope. Well, if I dreamt about it, everyone dreamt about it.
Who did you fight?
Tyler Milner.
Okay.
It's on Tapology. I didn't know it wasn't on Sherdog.
Oh yeah, we gotta talk to them. Okay, Tyler Milner. All right. And what happened here?
I came out. I hit him with the. Hit him with a good solid right away, and then he started trying to wrestle me. I kind of had him queasy, so, and I just kind of kept on him. It was only about a
this
minute.
Guy's 9-4 from Albuquerque, trains at Jackson Wink. Isn't yeah, okay.
It didn't last too long. It was pretty quick. I think probably a minute and a half. I just kind of kept on him. I had him against the fence on the ground for a little bit, and then he tried to take me back down, and I ended up getting another 10-finger choke.
Nice. Okay. Now, where do you live? You live in Phoenix now with your girlfriend?
Yeah, we're living in Phoenix.
You have a house or?
We got an apartment. No.
And then you got a free bulldog, right?
Yeah, we got a bulldog from Unique Kennels.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this. That like the first time you got on your dog, you took him to a dog park, and you thought it was gonna be tough, and you went in the middle, and he just covered up, and everyone just pounded on him.
He's. Man, he like, I don't know, he doesn't feel pain, but he's a big baby. He'll get punked by little tiny dogs. Aww. But when dogs don't fight him, he'll just close his eyes and take it. Like, he doesn't care. He'll try to play with them, and then if they get mad and they fight him, they beat him up, then he'll just close his eyes and take it. Then when they're done, it's like nothing happening. He just keeps trying to play with them.
Aw, that sounds like a real cute dog.
Yeah, I bring him to the gym sometimes. I got him after my fight against Mercier.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Oh, really? To cheer you up?
No, I got for a sponsor.
Oh yeah, I remember that guy. He sponsored my wrestling team too.
Oh yeah,
nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He is from South Carolina. Like, he actually gives people.
You met him?
Yeah,
I never met him.
He's like he's a big guy, but he gives out bulldogs. People whose nickname are Bulldog.
Yeah.
So he gives you one, Felice. I think he gave. He gives a lot of people to Bulldogs.
Yeah, and that's well. I guess that's the best thing I got out of my short UFC career. That's for sure.
Well, listen. Well, that guy that you fought last time, Tyler Milner. You know, he's got 6 knockouts in his 8 wins. So, were you a little bit going gun shy at all, or like worried about your chin at all?
No, I didn't. I don't know. I didn't think about it. Like Crouch was talking about that too. My coach, he was saying, you know, we just got to get out there and We just got to get out there and start. Don't let anything get in your head. But honestly, like I didn't think about it at all. I just went out there. I knew what I was going to do and I just did it. I don't get too nervous really. So I wasn't worried about it or anything. But yeah, if anyone knows the Sherdog Fight Finder guy, have him.
So who we fight next?
I have a name, but they asked him, so I'm not gonna say anything because, you know.
Do we know where it is?
It'll be in South Dakota again, but yeah, I don't like to say like who it is before they say yes because guys sometimes just have things going on. Like
right,
if it
right,
was
right.
Like if they offered a guy who had been talking shit to me, and he said no, then I'd put him on blast. But
has anybody ever talked shit to you?
Sometimes, yeah, but not too. Not
who
too
would
much.
Talk shit to you? You're like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
You're a great fighter. All right, a different subject, right? So that whole oil pipeline that was going on
in Standing Rock,
was that near you?
No, it's on the border of South Dakota and North Dakota, and where I'm from is on the border of Nebraska. So it's on the bottom. To get to Standing Rock, it'll probably be about 5.5-6 hours.
So were people that in your reservation affected by it, or were they going to protest it?
Yeah, a lot of people that I know went up there and protested. And
did you protest?
Got wild. No, I didn't go up there. I don't know. Maybe I should have, but I didn't.
That's okay. They were well represented.
There were a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Now, okay. So the girlfriend, 7 years. She wants a ring. I don't see why you wouldn't put a ring on this girl. I don't get what is it? What are you scared of? Is this like flying again or
no, I don't
being
know.
Trapped?
I don't see what's different about it. Like I already feel like we're committed to each other for life.
But she wants it. She wants the wedding.
Well, she wants a lot of things though.
Like okay, that's but she wants the wedding. She wants people to say, "This is my husband, the fighter."
So well, They could call me your husband. That's all right.
Maybe she's, I don't know. Is she going to take your last name? Or is it from any horses, Mashad?
She's said that she would hyphenate. And I'm like, man, that's a lot. That's a mouthful. That's a lot going on. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't care. If she didn't take my name, I wouldn't.
All right.
I wouldn't care. It'd help with my branding if I took her name.
I told you should do that. Yeah. I told you should play it up. I didn't realize how offensive I was being. But no. I told you should come out.
Well, it's
there.
One of those. I mean, like, everyone asked, you know, I had a couple of my buddies just this summer get married. And it's like, oh, did you take her name? You know, everyone asks that. Like, I don't care.
Now, do they actually have rain dances at your reservation or not?
No. I don't know. Maybe they used to, but not anymore.
So, no. Okay, that's a myth?
I don't know if it's a myth. But I mean, the thing about a rain dance is you just dance until it starts raining, right?
And then dancing.
Well, yeah, maybe, maybe not.
That's hilarious. Yeah, no, she has nice skin. Your wife, your girlfriend, right? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, she's slim. Her mom's slim.
Now she does jujitsu too, I heard.
Yeah, she just started. She started last year, and she's got 2 stripes on her white belt. So. When she first started, I had been trying to make her do it for a while. I even bought her some gloves, seeing if she'd take some striking classes. And nope, never did it. Then she says, if you buy me a gi, I'll start taking jiu-jitsu. So I'm like, all right, I'll get you a gi. And she starts, and she's doing it for a while. She did an in-house tournament, beat someone, ended up getting second to one of her friends. I mean, one of my good friends, his wife, and good friends with her too. And she ended up taking second. And I think after that, she ended up getting her first stripe, and she would talk, like, when people would ask her about it, she's like, oh, you got a stripe. She said, yeah, it's a pity stripe. It's a pity stripe. She's saying, John Crouch feels sorry for me, so he gave me a stripe, so I'll keep coming.
Oh, whatever. And
Crouch is getting upset. He's like, I don't do that. I don't give pity stripes.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's a pity stripe. How's Mackenzie Dearn doing?
She's doing good. You know, she's all hard worker and just getting ready for that fight.
Was it
March
weird having her at the gym because of her reputation and stuff? Was it like a big deal?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, because like she's like a world champion. Like,
no, like she does. I mean, she doesn't act like she's any better than anyone else. You know, when she's in the gym, she just does what the coaches say. Or if someone tries to help her with something, like if I try to help her with some wrestling, she's acceptive of it. And I think to be a world champ, that's kind of how you have to be. You know, you can't think, oh, I know everything already. Yeah. And like, she knows what she doesn't know, you know, right. Like she's aware that, you know, striking's what she needs to learn, and she needs to learn some wrestling to get people down on the ground. So she's receptive of help.
Nice. Any crazy gym stories of somebody that came in that had an attitude that you guys all fucked up?
I don't know. There's been some people that come in that are like big headed and trying to get some hard rounds in, and we're like, all right, well, you know, but I don't know. I don't even really remember too many names. I'm real bad with names.
Is O'Malley getting wars at the gym?
It's always fun to watch him go. Like, he's always, you know, spinning around, flipping around and doing some crazy shit.
Crazy shit.
Yeah. And, but I don't know. We try not to, most of us try not to, you know, spend our wars in the gym when we're not getting paid.
Right. Yeah. So that's a good
but
thing.
Not everybody.
So where can people find you?
Phoenix. No. On Twitter, I believe it's at Bulldog UFC. I made that handle whenever I was in the UFC. So I just kept it because I got the blue check mark and I don't want to lose it.
Right.
So it's BULLDAWG UFC at Insta, I think it's Bulldog155 because I made that handle and with a blue check mark when I was, you know, at 155, even though I'm not anymore. And yeah. I got a Facebook, my Facebook fan page too, and I have my store on there where you could buy my shirts. So I'm just going to give you a little promo.
Love it.
Just search David Bulldog Mashad and I should show up. And go on there and buy a shirt.
Okay. Nice. I love it. Well, listen, thank you so much for doing the podcast. It's an honor, man. I'm happy being your friend, being the fan.
It was a good time.
You're a great dude. You're somebody that I think you're a champion at life, and I you know, I aspire to be like you. So thank you, and guys, next week I will be in Seattle recording my new CD in Seattle at the Underground. I'll be there Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The week after that at the Comedy Cave in Calgary. So check me out. Go to adamhunter.com to find dates. And thank you guys so much.
Take care. Don't miss him. If he's in your town, don't miss him. He's so fucking funny.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care, guys. Bye-bye. Trap, sons, and trap, don't sons. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булан. Дадаж дуудан дур булан буруулаа.